Earlier in the hour, we heard Mayor Harry Kim talk about the need to communicate. HPR's Ashley Mazzuo has been looking into the health department messaging and the shortcomings and the stinging criticism from lawmakers and others in the community. Good morning, Ashley.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
So I understand that the criticism basically says that the health department has missed the mark on young people and Pacific Islanders.
Right. And, you know, experts I spoke with really honed in on the fact that one of the state's biggest missteps was their inability to effectively communicate with the public. And, you know, that's an issue during COVID-19 because you need to get people to wear masks and stay home. And all of the things need to be communicated by the government to the public. And as you're saying, the two main demographics that were missed in state communication were young people in the Pacific Islander community. We know that young people between the ages of 18 and 29 are catching the virus faster than any other age group. And, you know, they don't go to the hospital or die at the same high rate as the older demographic, but they can spread the virus to more vulnerable populations. So far, Hawaii has spent about $152,000 in state funds and $250,000 from the federal government on public messaging aimed to, you know, stop COVID-19. And at the beginning, the messages were featuring people like local comedian Frank DeLima, not someone who really resonates with that 18 to 29-year-old age group. The State House of Representatives COVID-19 committee kind of took it on their own hands and are making their own campaign now instead. Na'alehu Anthony is the former executive director at OEV Television, and he's one of the leaders of that project.
Make it personal, and it's like, oh no, these people were from my neighborhood. They went to the same restaurants I went to. They are grandparents or kids or moms and dads just like me. The storytelling, to me, makes it real. Obviously, this is deadly and it is very real, but how do we make sure that people know it's real?
Right, and so that's being unveiled today. And the Department of Health is also changing their messaging strategy. Most recently, they started running those survivor stories that really tried to hit on those personal notes that Anthony was talking about. And they also used some of their federal CARES funds to hire Anthology Group, which is a communications consulting firm, who made newer ads that started in mid-August that you might have seen that had young people in it talking about wearing masks and avoiding large gatherings. The survey that Anthology Group did between April and June showed that messaging like protecting our kupuna and the call for Hawaii to come together and the need to get back to work really resonated most with younger people, which may be getting the DOH back on track now. Alice Payne Merritt is a COVID-19 communications expert at Johns Hopkins University School of Public Health. And she says one campaign that works really well with young people in Baltimore and other countries she's worked in is an appeal to be a hero.
I think it takes you from your everyday life and, you know, I'm just a teacher, I'm just a student, I'm just a daily laborer. But even though we're all just regular people in our regular lives, we can be more than regular. We can be a hero. So a call to action to be a hero kind of calls upon each of us to be our best self. Who doesn't want to be a hero? And I think that's very culturally dependent.
So what can you tell us about the push to reach out to the Pacific Islander community?
DOH's communication issues with the Pacific Islander community are very, very different than their communication with the younger crowd. Hawaii has the highest numbers of Pacific Islanders per capita in the country, but the state's communication with them hasn't really been very effective in curbing the virus. And the main reason, I was told, is the lack of services available. Dr. David DeRoss, executive director at Kukulihi Valley Comprehensive Family Services, is a health center that served the community for 50 years. That's what he told me. He says a solid relationship with the Pacific Islander community is the key to good public messaging, and the messages need to be clear and actionable, which hasn't really been the case for some of DOH's most important guidance, which is to isolate at home in your own space with a private bathroom if possible if you have symptoms or are infected.
I think we all know what a luxury that is to have a private bedroom and bathroom, particularly for many of the communities we're talking about here. So when someone is told that advice, their natural response would be, you clearly don't know anything about my life. Why should I listen to you?
DeRoff says the state needs to talk to the Pacific Islander community leaders to figure out first what services are most needed, and then those services need to be quickly created and then well publicized. And, you know, that didn't happen, even though clusters in the community broke out as early as May. DeRoff warns that the state needs to avoid stigmatizing Pacific Islander community, and it needs to communicate in different languages, including Marshallese and Chukchi. To the state's credit, they posted YouTube videos in those two languages in mid-May, but the viewership for that was pretty limited, about 1,000 views for one and 150 for the other. Tim Brown, an infectious disease expert at East West Center, said that the state maybe should first take a traditional marketing approach to the problem, which would mean identifying key populations, drafting messages to them, and then working with the members of those communities to design and then actually test the messages that would be sent out on those communities. He says one region that's done really well at this is in Portland, Oregon, part of Multnomah County. I got to speak with Virginia Luca, who's the program specialist senior for the Pacific Islander community within Multnomah County Health Department and oversees the Pacific Islander Coalition that was able to really quickly get services going during the pandemic.
We provided them with a test, but we also provided them with resources. So we gave them PPE, we gave them N95 masks, we gave them printed flyers that were in different languages that told people about what is COVID, how can you protect your family. In a couple of the test sites, we even gave gift cards out to just let them know, like, hey, we don't know what you're going through in your life, but here's a gift card that you can go shopping or pay a bill.
Wow.
Yeah, and that means in a county where only 1% of the population is Pacific Islander and Native Hawaiian combined, they have a person in their health department dedicated to that community, and it shows when you look at the numbers. I mean, Pacific Islanders alone, not including Native Hawaiians, make up 4% of Hawaii's population, but they account for 31% of those infected, more than any other racial group. And then meanwhile, in Multnomah County, Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders combined make up just 2% of the county's COVID-19 cases. It's the second lowest for any racial group in the area.
You know, I know the Department of Health has been zinged in recent audits about communication, and we would have hoped that they would have fixed that. And I know the department has asked for additional staffers, but that hasn't necessarily come through, and they've had to, you know, reach out to these private agencies to help them with the messaging. What's the impact overall when you've got missteps like this?
Right. Well, I mean, it's just eroded the public's confidence in the government. And we've seen statements from officials saying that contact tracing was robust and that, you know, there was enough testing and that those who were most impacted were being helped. I mean, I can find an email from the DOH saying that communication with the Pacific Islander community wasn't an issue back in May. And, you know, a lot of that turned out to be less than true. The communications expert you heard earlier, Merritt, says that people putting out messages, credibility is everything, and it's going to be a huge barrier for communications once that's lost. And so they need to get it back really quickly. And one way back is transparency. And in Hawaii, there are really two barriers to that transparency right now. The open records law has been suspended during the pandemic. So reporters like us and normal people can't really request information from the state agencies. You can submit a request, but the agency has no deadline to respond because Governor David Ige says the state agencies aren't fully operational due to COVID. And, you know, some law experts in the area, he says that it's hard to trust what's going on when you can't actually get any information that you want or need to understand policy decisions, which is why, you know, we have these open record laws in the first place. And then another reason, which is a little bit similar, is staffing issues. And to put it in perspective, one Department of Health spokeswoman handled daily requests from 25 local reporters, and I'm guilty of sending, you know, multiple emails a day. And these span over 10 different local news outlets, plus national and international media requests. House of Representatives Speaker Scott Psyche worried that the Department of Health wasn't even collecting the data that he wanted about asymptomatic carriers and if infected people were wearing masks after his questions were repeatedly unanswered by the department. But to give credit where it's due, DOH late on Friday unveiled a new data dashboard with a lot more information. It's not completed yet, and a lot of information is still labeled as coming soon, but they did push that out late last week. And, you know, even though we're seeing Health Director Bruce Anderson retire and State Epidemiologist Sarah Part take leave, these are two people who have really bared the brunt of the blame, aside from Governor Ige, for Hawaii's COVID-19 response. Hawaii Pacific Health's Ray Barra and UH economist Carl Bonham both said it's really due to a culture in state government that predates COVID-19, and if we don't fix that, we're still going to have problems with public trust. Bonham says what's happened with Hawaii in COVID-19, going from, you know, 1 to 2 cases a day to triple digits, is really the price of this dysfunctional government culture.
groups, the community and the culture in our bureaucracies, and we failed at all levels, from the very top all the way down to people who are deciding to gather for lunch in a lunchroom. That's what we have to change. We have to change it at all levels.
You know, the governor hasn't acknowledged any leadership failures from his administration, but he says he's working to create more accountability and transparency, and with the departure of Director Anderson, and the information release fight is part of that. But will it be enough? I guess we'll see.
All right, we'll have to see if we can, in fact, you know, cut through some of this red tape and if the department will be more transparent going forward. Thanks so much, Ashley.
Thanks.
That was HFAIR's Ashley Mizzuo. To find her stories, head to hawaiipublicradio.org.